Jason Berlin is getting ready to go to Afghanistan, and this, I'm sure you all realize that this is a real heavy concern for the members of this family and all families related. So pray for Jason Berlin and for his family at this particular time. How many times has he been over there? This will be number four. And so remember to pray for him, please. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Lamentations 3:22-23. It is the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-23. Proverbs 16:16. How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and good judgment than silver. Proverbs 16:16. 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. And when you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study today. Again, realizing the importance of studying God's Word while our hearts are in tune and in fellowship with the Lord. These are wonderful moments for all of us. This is a magnificent time in our history to study the book of Revelation. There are so many things for us to learn. I need to tell you at the outset of this message that there are some things that I want to share with you today and then again on Wednesday night that has to do with the grief that takes place in the lives of individuals at the time of the second advent. This is presented to us in this verse of Scripture. The more we get into it, I believe the more you'll be able to see that during the time of the tribulation, it will be a time of tremendous evangelism. We'll talk about that in a few moments. The Lord Jesus Christ is in charge. You and I must be aware of the fact that this particular verse says, those who have pierced him, and they will be in lamentation, they will wail, all the nations of the land, and we'll analyze that. There's a lot of things in this verse of Scripture that you just don't see. It doesn't meet the eye when you're just reading it. It may take us 8 years to finish the book of because I may spend more than 1 week on this verse. But anyway, I just want you to know that it's quite a challenge to me to get into these verses and find so many things that you and I need to know. And it's a challenge to me. It's an exciting time for me. And I believe it should be an exciting time for you, because we're analyzing God's Word. We're analyzing the position that God desires for us to be in the midst of this particular situation. I look out over this audience and I'm aware of the fact that there are many different ages of individuals. Some of you perhaps are not aware of the fact that even though you may be young, you may leave this earth before some of us older ones. We do not know. We do know that there's coming a time very soon when either the rapture will occur or you and I will leave this life by means of physical death. And we need to take seriously our position on this earth now. God has allowed us to be here. Every morning we wake up, we must realize that God is good to us to give us another day. And we must be keenly aware of the fact that life at the longest is extremely short. And we must keep our priorities straight and our focus clear. There are many things that we can focus on during this time in our lives. So many of these things are so insignificant, so worthless, so unnecessary. And yet, oftentimes we find ourselves majoring on the minor things of life and minoring on the major things of life. And I love this congregation. I put up with you for 39 years. You put up with me for that many years. Some of you have put up with me longer than that. But you must be made of gold because you're staying with me. And I want you to realize that we're studying now some things that we really need to be serious about. And it isn't necessary for me to preach another sermon at the beginning of the sermon, but I feel like it's necessary for me to share with you the burden of my heart in relationship to the power of this particular verse indeed, Revelation 1:7. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful today that we're privileged to be here. We are aware of the fact that life at the longest is so short. If we should live to be 110, we realize that even that is a very brief time compared to 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 years. And so we're thankful today that we have opportunity now, once again, to focus our minds upon these magnificent truths. We pray that you will guide us in these moments. We pray and thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I will not reread the verses which we read in the first session. I'm going to put on the screen something that you've seen before. We see it now very clearly. There's an emphasis here upon the eternal ages past. There's an emphasis here upon the eternal ages future. When we look at the timeline, all of us should have this clear in our minds now. There is an emphasis in the Word of God on the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church age. This is a period known as the intercalated period, inserted into the timeline, interrupting the age of Israel, cutting the age of Israel short by 7 years. The tribulation will be the continuation and consummation of the age of Israel. We are living in the time known as the age of grace, the church age. This magnificent time will consummate with the rapture or the resurrection of the body of Christ. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that the word rapture is not used in the New Testament, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, the Greek word harpazo is used, and it is a Greek word which means to be snatched out, to be taken out. A magnificent word. You ought to look at that word. Dr. W.A. Criswell says, I translate that word kidnapped. And I thought that was an interesting way to present it. So there's the resurrection of the body of Christ. We're going to talk about that in a few moments, but I want us to see today that there's a 7 years of tribulation. We're not on the earth during that time. There's the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb. These things will take place in heaven with the born-again believers in resurrection bodies. What we've emphasized in Revelation 1:7 is the second advent, where it says, behold, remember, he's coming with the clouds. And every eye shall see him. How is that possible? Every eye shall see him. This is an emphasis upon the second advent. And that's where we are trying to get a picture. The reason I put this on the screen for you is because I want you to get a mental concept of the fact that the end of the age of grace, there is what is known as the rapture. At the end of the tribulation period or the age of Israel, there's the second advent, the second coming. We've got to get those things clear in our minds. While you're looking at that, let me begin. Let's first of all take a look at the age of Israel. The age of Israel began when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees. The first period is the period of the patriarchs, when there was no nation. Then after that is a period which ended with 400 years of slavery. The Jews came out of slavery and were very bitter. They didn't stay. The Exodus means that they went to the land God prepared for them. It's interesting to see that there are different phases that I'm calling a monopoly or a patent. And I want to explain just a few moments what I mean by that. If you look up the word monopoly, it means control. It is a word which means domination. It is a word that could be translated as personal, excellence. It could be translated as possession. Once you hear what I'm saying now, you'll be able to understand why I'm using the word patent or the word monopoly. The first phase of the age of Israel is the age of Abraham. Abraham is the father of the Jewish race. Moses is the father of the Jewish nation. It is important for you to put this into your thinking. Abraham is the father of the Jewish race. Moses is the father of the Jewish nation. When our Lord came to the first advent, fulfilled His mission, then He departed and was seated at the Father's right hand. It is understanding in our minds today that the Lord Jesus Christ has received three royal monopolies, three royal patents. Our Lord needed a royal family. And so we discover that our Lord had His first royal patent, our first royal monopoly, as the patent of deity, or the monopoly of deity. In other words, the royal family emphasizes His relationship to the Father and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I classify that as the first monopoly, or the first royal patent. The second royal patent, the Scripture says that He's the son of David, which simply means that He's of the Davidic line. The royal family is described there as the dynasty of David. So we have royal patent number one. We have royal patent number two, the royal monopoly number one, the royal monopoly number two. When Jesus Christ received His third royal monopoly, which we would classify as a monopoly or possession related to conflict. We call this the angelic conflict. Jesus received a title, and that title in relationship to this royal patent is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His title emphasizes the fact that He had, at that time, no royal family. A royal family is in the process of being called out from the time of Pentecost until the time of the resurrection of the body of Christ. A royal family is now being called out. Every person born into God's family from Pentecost until the time of the resurrection of the body of Christ is a member of this royal family. So the Scripture says, as the royal family is being called out, the age of Israel had to be discontinued, so that today no Jewish nation can be a client nation to God. I put that in capital letters and I put it highlighted in yellow so that you'll be able to get this into your thinking. A royal family is now being called out. As this royal family is being called out, the age of Israel had to be discontinued so that today no Jewish nation can be a client nation to God. Present Israel cannot be a client nation to God. This is the age of the Gentiles. Therefore, only Gentile nations will be called the times of the Gentiles. Only Gentile nations can be a client nation to God. The age of Israel was discontinued, as all of us know, and there came the insertion of the age of grace at the beginning when Pentecost took place, around 30 to 32 AD, and it will be terminated when there will be the resurrection of the body of Christ, which we know as the rapture. After the age of the church, there will be again a time for the age of Israel. Termination of the age of Israel will then be at a time called the second advent. So you can put down second coming or SA, second advent. So the age of Israel began with the calling out of Abraham and terminates with the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ, minus the dispensation of the church. So we're living in the time as the age of grace, which we call the dispensation of decision. The second advent is public. Behold, every eye shall see him. The rapture is private. When he comes in the clouds, private. In the rapture, he comes for priests only. And every believer of the church age is a born-again individual and a member of the family of God, a priest. When the Scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first," at that time, Jesus Christ does not come to the earth. It is not a public appearance. All of a sudden, listen to this, believers move right out. They go up. They disappear. They receive a resurrection body on their way up. This is very private. It's a very private matter indeed. One day you're going to be here, and you're going to then be gone. I put down like this, one day you're there, and the next day you're gone. This is the way it will be, but it is a private matter. Why? Because each believer is a priest, and the decisions made by each believer, priest, determine the uptrend or the downtrend of history. I stop there to tell you that what I'm saying there is your responsibility and your relationship and my relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is very, very important. Because we must understand that we're only here for a brief period of time, and our influence for the Lord Jesus Christ is of utmost importance. Don't consider yourself an accident. Don't consider yourself being here still on the earth as just an oversight. God has designed you to be here because he wants you here, and he has a purpose and a plan for your life and mine now. It's important for me to tell you that your existence is not an accident, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life now. It is important for you and me to determine what that purpose and what that plan is and fit into that plan. And as I said in the first session, you and I must find ourselves in the best position in which we can fulfill God's plan to the best potential. And that is in the divine power sphere. There's something else that I mentioned here quickly. We'll come back to this on Wednesday night. But I want to tell you that the Scripture here says that consider, remember, behold, He's coming with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And then you continue to look at this verse, and it says, including everyone who has pierced him. I would like for you to underline that, highlight it. It's a reference back to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 and following. It's a presentation of subject matter, historically and prophetically. So you need to put into your notes Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. We're not getting into that now. I have a note for myself to read it, but I'm going to disobey myself. It says here, including everyone who pierced him. There's a Greek word, ekantino, which is such an interesting verb in the verse. It's an emphasis upon rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior in the time of the tribulation. You and I must see something, and that is that the time of the tribulation, those 7 years, will be the greatest period of evangelism in all human history. It will be a time of sensational evangelism. 144,000 evangelists at the beginning. There's an emphasis upon a special television evangelism taking place, which is quite interesting. There's an emphasis upon Moses and Elijah being brought back to life. And some of you remember that. There's an emphasis upon the fact that during this time, angels are evangelists. Even evangelism will be done by angels at the end of the tribulation. The active voice of this particular verb, and we'll look at it Wednesday night, says the unbelievers of the tribulation will produce an action, having rejected Jesus Christ under the greatest type of evangelism possible. It says that they're going to grieve. They pierced him and they're going to grieve. When I look at the indicative mood of this verse, it says it's a dogmatic fact that many thousands of people will reject Jesus Christ during the tribulation, even though they hear clearly presented the message of salvation. When I looked at this, I wrote myself a note. What a shock it will be to those who reject Christ during that time and then see him coming in the clouds back to the earth. I want you to get a mental picture. This is what it means when it says, remember, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, including everyone who has pierced him. In this passage, we have a prophetic description of Israel's grief, and then a picture of the second advent. I'm not going to get into the discussion now of the book of Zechariah at this point, but I want you to begin to see something, and that is that there's a difference between what takes place at the rapture and what takes place at the second advent. Are you looking at this? Here's the church age. Here's the resurrection of the body of Christ. Here's the 7 years of tribulation. Here's the second coming, the second advent of Jesus Christ. On the screen now, you're going to see, we will not be able to get through all of this. The rapture and the second advent. Some of you have these notes, some of you do not. Even if you have these notes, it's important for you to be able to see what is being said. The rapture is a private affair. The second advent is a public affair. It's important for me to remind you that rapture is private in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. In Revelation 1:7, which is our scripture, the second advent is a public affair. I'm going to go in my Bible to 1 Thessalonians. And I want to read for you this magnificent passage of scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's begin with verse 13. I don't want you to be uninformed or ignorant, some of the verses say, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. Verse 16, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. It does not say in that scripture that Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. He calls his own unto himself. The dead in Christ, those of us which remain and are alive, shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Did we talk about the clouds in the previous service? We surely did. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. The Greek word there is harpazo. I referred to it in the previous service. It means kidnapped, as Dr. Criswell would say. It means snatched out, caught out. I want you to see yourself, if the Lord Jesus Christ sees fit to come to receive us to himself before this service is over. That simply means that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you're going to move out of that body. And your clothes will drop there to the pew. Some of them will even fall over onto the floor. And I'm trying to make this dramatic for you to be able to see. You're not going to be ashamed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Lord calls you out and you're moving from a body that is corruptible. You're moving from a body that is dying, decaying, deteriorating. You're going to be moving into a body that is a glorified spiritual resurrection body. And you're going to be moving into the presence of the Lord, snatched out, caught out. I want you to see how powerful and fantastic this is. It's a private affair. It's a private affair. Can you imagine people all around who are unbelievers wondering what's taking place? Can you just imagine what that's going to be like? Can you imagine some unsaved person walking by the cemetery and seeing dirt all rolled up and messed up? Can you imagine that? What does the scripture say? The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us which remain are alive shall be caught up together with others in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now you can see that I want to spend time on this, but I'm giving you time to take the first 5 points. The rapture is a private affair. The second advent, that's S.A., second advent, is a public affair. And that's where we are in Revelation 1:7. Number two, Christ meets believers in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. The second advent, Christ sets foot on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 4. You're able to take these down. Oh, please, don't just take this lightly. You take this and study it. Go home and look at these verses and see how fantastic it is. Number three, believers will be removed from the earth. John 14:3, at the time of the rapture. Believers removed from the earth. At the time of the second advent, unbelievers removed from the earth. Matthew 24:37 and following. Can you imagine how much time it would take if we analyze this in detail? Number four, at the time of the rapture, believers go to heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. At the second advent, believers come back to the earth with Christ. 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Rapture, number five, no timetable for the rapture. In other words, those people who dress in white rags, white clothes, and go to the mountaintop and set a time for the coming of Jesus, you can rest assured that many of them through the years have been very disappointed because they've set times and they've done this, they've sold their possessions, they've gone to the mountaintop, they're waiting for Jesus to come at their appointed time, and he didn't show up. No timetable for the rapture. However, number five, the second advent, 7 years after the rapture. There's no doubt about that. You can put it down. It's in Matthew 24:29-30. Some of you are saying, how many points do you have? Will you be able to give us all the points so that we can go home and study them? Well, I have to tell you that I have 12 points. So let's give you some time to take the next ones down. I will enjoy teaching this, preaching on each one of these. Number six, at the time of the rapture, believers are rewarded. Presented to us in 1 Corinthians 3:11-15, Revelation 22:12. At the time of the second advent, unbelievers will be judged. Matthew 25:31-46. Some of you are asking me the question right now, what's that BOF out there? That means the baptism of fire. The baptism of fire means a down payment on the eternal lake of fire for all the unbelievers. Can you remember that? I'll say it again. The baptism of fire is a down payment on the lake of fire for all unbelievers. So you can study that with me. Look it up, if you will, in our doctrinal charts, in our doctrinal shelves, baptism of fire. Number seven, at the rapture, it will be a source of comfort. 1 Thessalonians 4:18. The scripture there says, wherefore comfort ye one another with these words. I told you some years ago, and I repeated it a time or two, that some years ago I was preaching on this subject. A little young boy was sitting at the back, became very disturbed about this. And so he came up to me after the service, and he was very concerned about his relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he felt in his heart that it was not comfort, it was conflict. It was a burden, it was a distress in his heart and mind, because he was not properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the scripture says that if we're related properly to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we study these magnificent verses of Scripture, it's a great comfort to us. But on the other hand, the second advent, it's a source of terror. Revelation 6:15-17. And when we deal with this on Wednesday night, we'll get to the point again of the terror and the grief of the unbelievers in the time of the tribulation. Number eight, no change in nature at the rapture. Many changes in nature at the second advent. Isaiah 35 gives you a magnificent picture. You want to read this when you have time. The world is not judged at the rapture. People of the world judge at the second advent, described in Jude 15. I know you're writing fast. You want to take these down. The last one on this page, number 10. This is an entirely wonderful subject, and that is the subject of the mysterion. It's a Greek word that describes the church age. What I have, and I picture this in the past for you, the prophets of the Old Testament could look down through the periods of time, and they could see certain things. But there were certain things that they could not see. And it's interesting because what they couldn't see was what we would see as the mysterion concept, the mystery concept. And so the mysterion concept is presented in relationship to the rapture. But over here at the second advent, subject of extensive prophecy in the Old Testament. A lot of discussion needs to be given there. Have I given you enough time? We have just two more points. One on each side, two on each side, that is. Unconditional covenants at the time of the rapture, the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, unconditional covenants, not fulfilled. Covenants are fulfilled at the second advent. Israel inherits possessions. And then this last one, no dealing with Satan or demons. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. I trust you'll take the time to take this down. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that we have not presented the information. We tried to just present you an outline so that you can study this in the future. On Wednesday night, we'll be coming to a most challenging part of the passage of Scripture. And I want you to know that it's not going to be an easy message for me, and perhaps will not even be an easy message for you, but it will be one that we need to see in relationship to the grief and the pain and the suffering and the agony that will take place during that last part of the tribulation. 7 years of tribulation. We have a tribulation period divided in two parts, the first part and the second part. And the last part, the last 3.5 years, are described as the Great Tribulation. We'll be analyzing that on Wednesday night. Thank you so much for your wonderful attention. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful today for the fact that we're here, which simply means that you have a purpose and a plan for us still being here. There are so many things for us to learn. We're beginning to realize even far more than ever before how much there is for us to learn. We realize that the more we learn, the more we find that we don't know. And so we're thankful for the challenge of your word. And even as this verse begins, it says for us to get in a position so we can learn. Get in a position where we can be where God wants us to be, that we'll be able to see from a divine vertical viewpoint and not from a horizontal human viewpoint. For those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to realize that today is the day of salvation. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. We pray that there will be those who will trust you, knowing that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. The Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that just now. And we thank you that you are still in the saving business and you will save anyone who will trust you even at this very moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Pleasing to you, please.